Okay, Rockstar Nation, we have a great guest today. I have Bob Zachmeyer from Tucson, Arizona on the line, and Bob is doing some really neat out-of-the-box thinking and creating of business that's earning him commissions, and we're going to learn how exactly he's doing that in Tucson and find out a lot about how we can do it ourselves. So without further ado, Bob, welcome to Pat Hyben Interviews Real Estate Rockstars.
Thank you, Pat. I really appreciate you having me on. I looked through your list of people you've interviewed, and actually a lot of those are some close friends of mine. So thank you for including me in this elusive group.
You're welcome. My pleasure. So, Bob, why don't you tell our audience a little bit about yourself so they can get to know you better?
Okay. I'm Bob Zachmeyer. I'm in Tucson. I left a 22-year engineering job to become a real estate broker, and I quit my job, and in the last 11 years, my wife and I have sold 3,300 houses. That basically works out to one every day except for Sundays and holidays for 11-year run.
Wow. I love it. That's great. So you guys have been busy. So last year, how many houses did you sell?
Actually, this is kind of interesting. My best year was 641 homes.
Mm-hmm.
And last year we did just under 150.
Okay.
And this was by design. I actually have a written goal that I've had for 2 years. I want to sell half as many houses and make twice as much money.
Okay. So let's talk about that. So let's talk about that specifically, because I think that that's something that all agents out there need to hear, because the guy that gets on the stage is the guy that sells the 600 houses. And you decided, hey, it's not about the stage anymore, and it's really about my bank account. So let's look at some numbers, if you don't mind. So when you sold 600 houses, what was your net profit on that roughly?
The net profit was, my best year ever in real estate was $800,000. And that was before we started selling 600 houses. I mean, that came on a year that we sold 250 houses.
Hmm. So then you got it up to 600 and the net actually dropped.
Yeah, my net, I mean, we grossed $3.2 million selling 641 houses. But my profit dropped because the overhead just went through the ceiling.
So what was it, like 10%?
Roughly.
Yeah, so 10% would be 300 grand. So you were making 800, and then at 250, 300, at 600 houses, and walking, you know, top agent, everybody knows Bob. And now, tell me about this methodical, transformation that you did, and how exactly you did it.
A lot of our market in Arizona was REO, and then just like a light switch, it shut off. I went from, 300 REO listings to 3 in a year and a half. And so when your business dries up, you find a different way to get business. And, because of my engineering background, I really track the market, and I see changes before most people see them coming. And I saw this REO going away and all the banks starting to do these huge bulk sales, which is taking away all the sales from Main Street and putting them on Wall Street. Hmm. So I started looking around for problems to solve. That's really what real estate agents do, is they solve people's problems. And what I found was there are a ton of people who were hit by the recession, especially in places like Arizona, California, Florida, Nevada, the sand states, that our prices fell by 50%. So this created problems that we've never seen before. Markets that fell half of their value, that means nobody can afford to sell. That means the buyers that lost homes are unable to buy. And I just saw a huge amount of opportunity. If I target the people, mostly business owners, by the way, when you say somebody can't qualify for a bank loan, everybody immediately thinks that they're some deadbeat that doesn't pay their cable bill. And what I found is it's mostly business owners. And these people are working. They actually have a bunch of employees who can all buy homes because they have a W-2. But the person who signs their paycheck every Friday cannot buy a home.
Yeah.
So I've actually addressed my marketing to go after those people. And I find a lot of them on Craigslist. And if they can't buy, where do they go? They go to rent, right? And I just use my two favorite words in the English language. What if? What if you could own a home for less than you're paying in rent? And I mean, it's just huge. These people, it's really funny, Pat, they're predisposed to pay a premium to buy a home. So So, I mean, people pay more to live on the golf course. They pay more for a house with granite countertops. They pay more for a house that has financing with it. So I started looking around, and this actually came from my own personal experience. My mother, when my father passed away, we broke up my mom's assets into $100,000 increments, because at the time that's what FDIC insurance would protect in a bank. And she was making about 4% on her money on each one of those accounts that we'd set up. And then about 5 years ago, her $4,000 a year for each 100,000 went to $200 a year for each 100,000. So she's now making $16 a month. And we actually had isn't that crazy? I mean, it's not even one Starbucks a week, you know, for having $100,000 in the bank. It doesn't even buy you a Starbucks a week. And, you know, I tell this to people all the time. If there's two of you, that means one Starbucks every other week, you know, and it's just, you add a little bit of humor in there. And then we had this client that, you know, bought several homes. He owns a business, and the bank turned him down for a loan, and he wanted to buy a $300,000 property and with $100,000 cash down. I mean, you talk about skin in the game, that's significant. And the bank would not give him that $200,000 loan. So my mother actually cashed in a couple of her bank accounts, and instead of getting $13.50 a month for $200,000 invested, she gave this gentleman a loan, and now at 7% interest is earning $1,320 a month instead of $32 a month. So I just, you know, tell people that story, and everybody, I want to be your mom. You know, it's just, so there's a huge opportunity.
So now have you taken this to a whole nother level? Are you funding more loans like this with a pool of investors?
It's not investor pools. It's actually mostly retirees. And investors are what I say this in public every time I speak to investors. Investors are greedy pigs. They want 12 to 16% for their money, and so that's way too much. It's not going to make any house deal fly. So I look for retirees we have 6,000 people a day turning 65 years old in this country. So when you find the retirees and they're looking around for a place to invest, you know, their money, and they look at the stock market, the last downturn, the Dow Jones Industrial lost 10% in 3 days.
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever heard of real estate losing 10% in 3 days?
No. So you pull this money together from retirees, right? And so how many of these are you doing now?
We're doing several a month, actually. And when I...
So about $1 million or so a month.
Well, it depends on the price of the home. And actually, this is going to sound strange to you. You know, most real estate agents focus on higher priced properties because they earn more commission. I actually focused on the lowest price points because that is where the most need is. And I just want to give you an example. The median home price in Tucson right now is about $170,000. So I focus on houses under $150,000. And people renting those homes will pay $900 to $1,100 for rent. I can actually get them into a home with financing that will be $200 less than they're paying in rent. Mm. And that's just a no-brainer sale.
Yeah.
And then the retiree, by the way, only, we would never, I run all the loans through a licensed loan originator, so I'm not, you know, creating loans myself. The title company prepares all the paperwork and the deeds I don't get involved in that. I'm just the guy that puts all the people together.
And what's the loan to value on these?
70% for the retired person. We break all the loans into two pieces.
Yeah.
And basically the person selling the home, is it okay to give you a quick little example?
Yeah. Example would be great. Yes.
Okay. So on a $100,000 home, which we're finding those hard to find anymore, and I know California people are going to roll their eyes on a $100,000 home. Believe me, I have people that I coach that are doing this in California.
Yeah, well, round numbers, we'll go with 100, yeah.
Okay, so $100,000, I can find buyers all day long that would buy that home because they will pay $115 for it. So when you have buyers that are willing
to pay... Okay, so let me stop you there. So they'll pay $115 because they can't get a loan through traditional mortgage companies because their tax returns are set up so that, you know, their write-offs are huge, and I understand. And so do these people have good credit?
Actually, a lot of people have over 700 credit score. As I said, most of the people.
So generally, good credit, 30% down, just bad tax returns. Yeah. Okay. Okay, I'm with you.
Self-employed, don't have 2 years on their job. All kinds of reasons that the banks are turning people away. So, and I can get all the sellers that I want, but because I have all the buyers that want to pay a premium for property. Well, I mean, every seller wants more than their house is worth.
Yeah.
So basically, I mean, you can interview other agents, and unfortunately, people hire the agent that promises the highest price. But I have a way to get it.
Yeah, you're not just talking, and then 3 months in, you're going to drop the price from 115 to 100. You're actually going to sell it for 115, and you have a way to do that. And you say you're double ending a lot of these deals?
Well, actually, because of the economy, and just I want to come across, I'm not an anti-realtor person. I actually just stepped down from serving on the board of directors for our local board.
Okay.
But the thing that I want to just tell real estate agents that are listening is you have to add value. What's changing in our industry is the need for you to open a blue super box is going away. I mean, Airbnb people for a $200 credit card scan will give you a keys to a fully loaded house. So the whole idea that I need an agent to open a door for me, that's going to be gone in a year or two. And you have to have value that you're offering to people. So the first thing is you ask the buyer, how much of your rent is tax deductible? How much do you get back in income tax? And of course, rent is not deductible. So the answer is no. And you say, if I could get you into a home for less than you're paying in rent, would that be okay? And of course it's okay. And then, you just set up that initial phone call turns into a face-to-face appointment. And then you just sit down and show them. When I stopped trying to sell homes and started trying to help people, my business just exploded. And I just envisioned myself as a waiter in a restaurant. And basically, whenever I meet with a person, I reach in my back pocket, pull out my order pad, and just start asking them what they want. Instead of trying to tell them, what the seller wants or what my, you can't do that. You can't do that. Just what do you want? If you could pick a day on the calendar, when would you move? And, if you set up a north, south, east, west boundary, what square would you want to live in? And then how much do you have to put down and how much do you want your payment to be? And it's just, I can get to those questions in 30 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what I'm creating is possibility. And for this buyer, I just say, and then I show them the data. On average, homes in Tucson have increased in value by over $1,000 for the last 4 years, $1,000 a month for the last 4 years. So basically, if you would have bought a home 4 years ago, you'd almost have $50,000 in equity.
Mm.
And aren't you tired of your landlord getting that money?
Yeah.
And so just for an example, on this $100,000 home, if I sell it at a $15,000 premium, their total payment would be $854. That is the first loan, the second loan, the taxes, the insurance, the account servicing fee, everything out the door. I'll just tell you, that house would rent between $950 and $1,100 here. So already they're ahead of the game, and then they're getting back money. They can write off the mortgage interest. They can write off the property tax. So they're getting back over $100 a month in their paycheck that they're not currently getting just for income tax refund. They're paying down principal plus, market appreciation. So when you add all that together, I've actually sold homes where the benefits of home ownership are actually more money. They're getting back more money than they're paying, which means the house is paying them to live in it.
Wow. And it's a great deal for an investor too. If you want to go that route, do you sell houses to investors?
I do.
Yeah.
And actually I have a
lot. It's hard to get a loan as an investor. It's hard to get a long amortized loan as an investor these days,
and it's also hard to find a decent rate of return.
Fixed rate, yeah.
So investors, my best clients actually are 70-year-old guys who spent their life, buying and paying off their rental houses. Now they have a whole spreadsheet full of property, but they're in their 70s and they're getting too old to climb ladders and fix stuff themselves.
Mm.
And I just show them you can make more money, being the bank than you'll ever make being a landlord.
Yeah.
And securely, no phone calls.
Too. Yeah. And they're in first position with the 70%. So.
Exactly.
That's great. So, okay, so now you discovered this, and then you went consciously out and just slashed all your expenses, right? All these things that were basically had created a 90% expense ratio, right, on your real estate team business. Tell me what you did. Did you fire your team? Did you cut out? What did you cut out? Tell me how this process happened and what exactly you did, and how is it today?
So the first thing is, we, during the peak of the market, I had 4 office locations open, and that is just, you know, pure overhead. The
bricks
so
and
I
mortar.
Closed down all my offices. I have one building that I own. And I'm actually selling that. I mean, I have too much equity in there.
You don't need bricks and mortar in real estate anymore. You really don't.
I've sold more homes in a coffee shop than I've ever sold at my office.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm getting rid of that $6,000 a month, you know, nut for the office building. All of the extra internet. I work from my home every day. I rarely go to my office. So one, if you can get rid of your office building. Two, the advertising. I cut Zillow, truly a market leader. I mean, those things all work. That's why I was paying money to have them, but I don't need them any longer. Basically, I can get all of my leads from 3 locations. I do have a radio. I've been running radio for several years. It's very, very effective. It's a way to get this message out to people. That's the only advertising that I pay for. And I have a radio show on Sunday, and I run ads during rush hour every Monday through Friday in the morning and in the afternoon. And the local DJ does my endorsements, and he's awesome at it. So radio is the only real thing that I pay for. Bandit signs, I have a guy that installs them for $2 a piece. He has a job running medical equipment all over town. So just like he throws extra signs in his car, and every time he gets to a stoplight, he, you know, sticks a sign in the ground near a house that I have for sale. And those little bandit signs, one of the key things I'll share with people is they're handwritten on a blank Coroplast with a Sharpie, and they don't look like the standard, you know, branded real estate sign. And I'll just tell you, people respond to those because they don't want to be sold to. They don't want a professional looking sign. Actually, if you put duct tape on a stick, you would get more calls than you would with, you know, with a professional branded sign.
So, and these are signs for houses you have for sale?
Right. And a seller, you know, seller will finance cheaper than rent. And then
so let me get this straight. Seller will finance cheaper than rent. So, and this is, of course, the seller's not financing. This is your financing.
Well, actually, the sellers actually are. It's these landlords, these 70-year-old guys that they're tired of all the headaches and hassles of rental property. They're going to be the bank now and just get a check in the mail every month and never have a
oh, I see. So they're dumping their rental properties.
Right.
Oh, and you're getting them there. Okay. So they're becoming lenders versus, yeah, okay. I got you. I know you said that before, but it's sinking in now. I got you. Okay. Very interesting. Now, do you run into any struggle? A little while back, I think it was episode 319, Sam DeBoard was on, and, you know, he's a writer for a lot of the real estate magazines, and he was telling us about a Supreme Court case with open house signs and how there's some controversy going on. Now, do you leave these open house signs up or these bandit signs up all week long? Do you run into any struggles with that?
It depends on the city, and I have people all over the country that are doing what I do, and if you have ordinances, like there's a city here, Oro Valley, that has just signed police, and they will find the heck out of you. Those places I don't do it in. On private property, you're allowed to put up signs. So basically, we put up signs on any of our listed properties. And also, I mean, if I see a boarded up house, I mean, I'll have somebody go by and throw a sign up in the yard. Basically, the jurisdictions usually can't take it down if it's on private property.
That's interesting.
And you know, one time I got a call from a guy, and hey, there's a sign in my yard. It's like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I was hoping to get your call because I'm interested in buying your house.
That's great. That's great. So you cut everything out, and what's your profit margin now?
Our total profit is, I'm running my taxes for last year, but we are probably well over 40% of our gross.
That's your net. So you went from 10 to 40.
Right. And when I get rid of the office building, I'll be way over 50.
Okay. So you went from 10 to 50. Okay. So 150 houses will net you what?
This year, I think we should be right at seven figures. Like, I expect to make $1 million this year.
Okay. So listen to this, guys. So 604 houses, right? Something
right.
like that. You net 300 grand. 250 houses, you net 800 grand. 150 houses, you net over $1 million. All because...
Don't forget, Pat, that I'm talking about some very low price points. We're talking
yeah.
under $150,000.
Wow.
So let me just ask you, do you think I can charge a higher commission than what typical agents charge in my market? I don't want a price fix here.
Yeah,
but
no.
But can I charge a higher commission if I'm getting you $15,000 more for your home?
Unequivocally, yeah.
So now if I bring in the buyer, instead of just putting it on the MLS and waiting for someone else to come sell it, I run Craigslist ads. I have people full-time that do nothing but Craigslist. And you know, I do that both with VAs, and I actually have a local
So do you, are these agent. All exclusive listings, essentially?
Yes.
So you don't MLS?
No, I do MLS on some.
On
but,
some, but for the most
one,
part,
one
you
thing
don't.
That I want to qualify here, I'm not withholding from the MLS. There are
sure.
a ton of people out there that want to sell their home, but they do not have the equity yet to pay two commissions.
Hmm.
So they don't think they can sell. I go
right. They're short that, sales. Look. They a realtor would go to them and sit down and be like, "Hmm, you're short. You know, here's my commission. Here's your transfer tax. Here's everything else. Da 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 da. You're short. You need to do a short sale." They're like, "I don't know if I want to do that. You know, it's going to mess my credit up. We'll think about it. We're not that motivated." Then you come in and say, "Hey, I can get you 15% more."
Right.
You don't have
to
be short.
To pay off your bank loan.
You'll save yeah. your credit. You'll save your pride. You know, you might even make money. You will make money. Boom.
And there's also people that just, they got a job transfer and they need to leave. They are still upside down. I mean, what do you do with that? It's a short sale. And I've actually had issues where people have defense clearances and they can't have a short sale.
Yeah. Yeah. That's huge here in Maryland.
So what do you do with these people? Well, guess what? I can bring in a buyer who would buy your home, and I sent them to the lender. It's going to be two more years before they can qualify because they still have a foreclosure looming on their credit. So what if we just push the closing date back 2 years? They come in and start paying you more than your payment right now, but they're buying it. They locked in the price with the contract. And I have escrows that close anywhere between 2 and 5 years.
Really?
Depending upon the deal.
Huh.
And now that person is free to move on with their life. The payment is actually being made by the person living in the home. It's still owned by the previous owner, and that money being paid toward the payment, that principal is their equity. What the buyers are getting is they're locking in their price today so that 2 or 3 years from now, they'll be able to buy the house at a discount because they locked in the price today with a contract.
That's great. Okay. And so that somebody listening in Cleveland, Ohio says, "You know what? I want to do this." Okay. So help us out here. So what exactly does your radio ad say to get the seller?
To get the seller, if you want to get more than market value for your home, give us a call. And,
Does it say something like we have a program that no one else has, or we're doing something
yes.
special?
Yeah. We have lots of programs.
Cause that's a cliche. I'll get you more than anybody. I mean.
Sure. And also, you don't want to be too specific because everybody's situation is different.
Right.
And what the biggest mistake real estate agents make is they provide too much information. If you advertise a 3-bedroom home, you're going to alienate all the people that want a 2-bedroom or a 4-bedroom.
Right. So are you saying, hey,
just got to put the carrot out there and say, hey, call to find out what your house is really worth.
Right. I'm getting sellers more because of a program I have. I mean, you have to be sort of specific or else they're just going to think you're saying what everybody says,
Right. And I just say things. I don't want to list your house. I just want to sell it.
That's neat. And then what do you say in the Craigslist ad to attract the buyer?
with the buyers, we just have a couple of pictures of the home. And the Craigslist ad is very, very simple. We don't put in the bedrooms. We don't put in the bathrooms. We're very vague on the area. And we basically put in, here's the property, the best amenities of that property. No more than three lines on the ad. And then it just, at the end, kind of as an afterthought, seller might finance with adequate down. Well, how much is an adequate down? That generates a phone call.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you say $25,000 down, all the people that have 15 or 20 aren't going to call you.
So you had this team with four offices. How many people did you have?
At one time, I had 28 W-2 employees.
Okay.
And just because of the sensitive nature of the REO accounts, I didn't want a bunch of agents that would then try to take the business from me.
Okay.
So I had a small team of agents. At the peak of the market, I had at one time 22 agents, and that was just like pulling my hair out. Every time I added more and more agents, I was less and less productive.
Well, 28 and 22, that makes 50. So what is it now?
Five. And that includes my wife and I.
And so three. And so what do those three people do?
They're all real estate agents. And basically I have them as 1099 for doing the tasks that I need done to list homes to, you know, hey, I got this listing coming up. I need you to go hang the box. And I have a photographer that takes the photos, but you're going to be responsible for all the buyer calls on this home. So I don't, you know, we double end inside of our brokerage, but we don't have any one agent that ever represents both sides of the same transaction. So basically the agents are doing all the work I used to pay W-2 employees to do, but for that, they get the leads on that property directly to them.
And internally, do you keep more on the listing side?
We are very balanced, actually, half and half. But the most interesting thing about our brokerage is over half of the homes that we sold in the last 12 months were not on the MLS.
Yeah. That's
great. And again,
it's
not withholding them from the MLS. It's because the people didn't have the equity to put them on.
Right. If you put them in the MLS, they would just sit because the agents are showing it to regular buyers, right? I mean, you're showing it to special buyers.
And when you meet with a seller and you just, you know, you hit the pain points. You know, when you're listing a home, it's an emotional roller coaster. Did they like my house? Oh, they didn't. You know, I got a vacuum and sweep and there's all these people coming. And so I just hit those pain points, right? Now, what if, you know, if you could pick a day on the calendar, when would you move? And just, you're in charge. You tell me when you want your house sold and I'll just make it happen. And then what if you only had to make your, what if you only had to make your bed once?
Yeah.
Would that be all right? You know, and I can bring you an offer. And basically, Pat, I have three ways to sell your home.
Okay.
If you want it fast, I can bring in one of my investors and just be aware it's going to be a probably 70% offer, but I can close this house in the next 7 days and you'll be done. If you want that, I have that. Okay. If you want a traditional sale, we can put it on the MLS and we can market it and just be aware that it's going to be subject to what the appraiser says can be paid. And in a recovering market like ours, appraisers look in the rearview mirror. It's sometimes frustrating because you'll have a buyer that wants to pay more money than the appraiser will let them pay. So we have fast and less money. We have long and market money. Or we have this third option, which is fast and more money. Which one would you prefer?
Okay, so let's address the appraisal thing, right? So do you just not do appraisals?
On a private money loan, we do not do appraisals.
Okay. So no appraisal. That solves that.
Because part of the value that they're paying for is the financing. They're paying the premium for the financing,
right,
not for the value of the home.
Right. Yeah. Very
interesting. And appraisers, you know, this is probably the biggest misnomer in real estate is appraisers are the gold standard. And, you know, what I explain to clients is appraisers are hired by the banks to justify the investment. They are investing in this loan, and they want to know that it's common for people in this area to pay this much money for a house. So, I mean, the neighbors of the properties that I list should love me because I got them a new comp that nobody else provided.
Yeah, I mean, I bet you that gets you business too, right? They're like, did you hear they got 115? What, how in the world did they get 115?
We send a congratulations postcard to all the neighbors that basically says, congratulations on the new high price in your neighborhood. And it's kind of like backpatting myself. But,
right. And of course the other agents are, oh, they'll never appraise, but you don't even have an appraisal. I mean, it's brilliant.
And now there's a, I mean, just think if it wasn't for private sales, there would never be appreciation because appraisers look backward in time to find values of what a property could sell for.
Yeah. Yeah. And I understand what you're doing 100%. Personally, I have a ton of investments and some of my investments last year, some apartment buildings that I bought, we plowed tons of money into them in repairs, and I'm a real estate professional on my tax returns, and it absolutely took my, you know, adjusted gross income and pushed it down to the point where I can't get a loan, right? I cannot refinance my house. I cannot buy another house today. I can't. So, and I'm not a poor guy, and I don't have bad credit. I just, you know, I just can't. And so I know, I understand this game 100%, and I think it's brilliant. I mean, you know, I would be a client if I lived in your area.
And actually, Pat, I've bought 5 houses already this year, and that's, you know, more than about one every 3 weeks. And basically I go to some of these people's homes and they're upside down and they have to move. They have a life changing, I'm getting married and I'm moving to, you know, Vermont or, you know, somewhere. And so I just show them that if you sold your home, this would be your commission. This would be your closing costs. This would be your loan payoff. All you got to do is bring in $12,000 and you can sell. And I said, now let me just take off my real estate hat and put on my investor hat because I also buy homes. Now, if I was to buy your home, I would be working for me and not for you. So would it be okay if I didn't charge you a commission? Well, yeah. Okay. So guess what? Now you're not upside down anymore. But I don't run around town just buying houses for market value. There has to be a benefit for me. The benefit for me is that I would need to use the loan you have on this house for the next 5 years. If you're willing to do that, let me use it. And then I will pay it off in the end of 5 years and refinance the property. Then, you know, we can make this happen and I can close in a week.
And then you just do a land installment on the loan?
Yeah, we buy it subject to the existing loan. Mm-hmm. And then I will sell it on a contract for deed to a buyer who's going to, and for instance, I have a, you know, the loan might be 3.75, and I would turn around and lend to someone else for like 7 or 7.25. And so basically I make the difference in the interest.
You make the spread and you keep the house.
Yep. And then if they don't, everybody says, what if they don't pay? Well, if they don't pay, then basically they lose their significant down payment. And I tell people that's actually the best of both.
So their loan actually stays in place, or no, it doesn't. You pay that off.
No, the underlying loan stays in place. So let's just say, you know, there's a 3.5% loan.
Yep.
And then I turn around and sell to someone else with a wrap. And it is, and sometimes we actually wrap it. Sometimes we use trusts.
Yep.
And it's a contract for deed. So the title never changes out of the original person's name.
Right.
And I wouldn't, you know, prescribe this to clients. I mean, I have the resources in the event the loan were to be called due. I could, you know, easily
right.
find the funding to put it together. But the biggest thing is just, you know, educating people that this option exists. If you
yeah.
want fast, I have fast.
And it's a win-win-win, right? Everybody wins.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we range price everything. So if someone comes in with an MLS offer, this is the price they would pay. And most people don't understand range pricing. And I just explain it. Just think of a speedometer on a car. It's not a bait and switch. The seller will sell at the low price. And most people say, well, why would I pay the high price if I know that they'll take the low?
Hmm.
Well, the low price is the as-is price. They are not going to pay your closing costs. They are not going to pay for any repairs. They're not going to pay for anything. They'll sell it at this price if that's all that they pay. It's just you take the house, we're done, I don't have to pay anything. So then the more stuff you ask for, the higher the needle goes, just like the speedometer on your car.
Yeah.
So this allows you to get the low price that a real estate agent wants. It gets people in the door. And most people, you know, are going to ask for concessions. And that enables you to just hold your ground and say, nope, that was the best price. And especially in a market like ours where there's a shortage of inventory, it every time, I mean, it never fails. We'll get an offer at the low price. And that it includes a whole bunch of closing costs and other concessions. I want a home warranty. I want these things. And we just don't even respond to that offer. I mean, I'll call the agent and then I'll actually send them a list of comps in the area and say, you know, I'm sorry, but my seller has advised me not to counter you, and this is why, find another house at this price. And people end up countering themselves. I mean, they actually send in a counter offer for the higher price with all the things added on. And then if they come in at the low end of the range, we require that they sign an as-is addendum.
Hmm.
So, and it never fails. People are people. I mean,
yeah,
they'll still ask for repairs. And you know, we just, what kind of, what part didn't you understand?
Yeah,
the
right.
As or the is, you know?
It's only two words. They should have an addendum with those two words, just massive, big fonts. And that's all it says on it. And everyone signs it. That's funny. Well, this has been great, Bob. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing this. It's definitely, I have not heard of this. I think that it is duplicatable. I think that other people listening can do this. And, guys, if you, I'm going to put all of Bob's, contact information on hybendigital.com/BobZach. And that's Z-A-C-H. I'll just, leave it at that. And, Bob, thanks again. I really appreciate it. If anyone listening has referrals in Tucson, Arizona, you know the guy. He will get your sellers more money and ensure that your buyers will be able to get a loan to get a house. Thanks so much, Bob, for coming on today, and I wish you the best of luck.
Hey, Pat, thank you. And if you're interested, I do a webinar every Tuesday of a deal that I just did this last week, and I share those, and you know, I let people come on and just see if it'll work for them. So just send an email if you want to bob@nocarry.com.
That's bob@nocarry, N-O-C-A-R-R-Y.
No, note, N-O-T-E, oh, like
note.
A real estate
okay.
Note.
Okay, good. I'm glad you did that, yeah. Notes
bob@nocarry.com. And every Tuesday at 9 o'clock I have a webinar. It's an hour long, and I got people all over the country that are doing this exact thing and just killing it.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I'll put all that on Hybin Digital too, hybindigital.com. /BobZach. Listen, Bob, have a great day.
All right. Thank you, Pat.
Thanks for coming on.